lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today there is an increasing liberalization and modernization of Christian theology. Well, this tends more and more to devalue what had long been considered the bedrock truths of Scripture. However, this liberalization and modernization is not something new concerning Christians, because the devil has been causing confusion for all mankind since the Garden of Eden. Liberalization and modernization leads to confusion and the undermining of foundational truths found in the Word of God, the Bible, the King James Bible. Now let's take a look at the five fundamentals of the faith as recognized from the studying of Scripture. Fundamental number one, the Bible. Do you realize that there are some who do not believe the inerrancy of the Bible? Well, the Bible is inerrant. In other words, there's no mistakes found in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." No, the King James Bible was not around when Jesus walked this earth, nor was it around when the disciples walked the earth. Actually, the apostles are responsible, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of God, to pin down the words that God would have them pin down, known as the Bible. And of course, we have the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what verse 16 says of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, "All Scripture," that includes the Old Testament, "is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." It's worth something. It's worth a lot. "Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." This is Jesus who was expounding the Old Testament to these who were walking on the road to Emmaus. Well, the Scriptures are inerrant. There are no mistakes found in the Word of God. That's the first fundamental truth that I see concerning the foundation of the faith, of our faith as saved people, the Bible, inerrant. We also see that the Bible is full of authority. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, "For the prophecy," and that's Scripture, "came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Acts chapter 18, verse 28. "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." And then in Psalm chapter 119, verse 161. "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Now, you go back to that first verse that I read under this heading, the full authority of God's Word. It says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Well, the Bible tells us that there's a lot of people ashamed today because they have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. They have never been born again. We need to recognize that the Scripture is complete, that God's Word cannot be added to or taken away. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it says that God will add to plagues, all the plagues, if someone adds to or takes away from the Scripture and the Word of God. Now, I may talk about that a little later. Well, the second fundamental is Jesus Christ. the virgin birth. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35 says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And then we read the familiar verse found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then in Matthew 1, 23, verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. If we deny the virgin birth, then we're denying that God was with us. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Not of man, but of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Now the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, well, it's called the Bible. A Bible simply means book. The Revised Standard Version, I call this the Revised Standard Version, the Reversed Standard Version, if you would. It says there about Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son." Well, the Reverse Standard Edition, the RSV, is blaspheming the birth of our Savior. And by the way, the ESV, the English Standard Version, is patterned after the RSV. You can't trust either one of them because they leave out the virgin birth. Well, we see that Jesus Christ, his deity, divine names of Jesus Christ are found in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 7:14 again says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, this is written, and we read this, it's written to the Jewish people at that time. And when Christ came into the world, the Jewish people refused to receive him as Emmanuel, as God. And you read that and you study that and you find that in the Word of God, how they crucified him and killed him. And of course, he was buried and he resurrected. We'll see that in just a moment. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now notice in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Speaking of Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, and you see the verses are, the Bible is full of Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the Spirit." Jesus Christ was manifested. God was manifested in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And I read John chapter 1, verse 1, speaks about the Word and says the Word was God. And John chapter 1, verse 14, it says the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Might I say, if you deny this, you are not saved. If you deny that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, you are not saved, and you need to fall on your face to God today and say, "God, forgive me for blaspheming you. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior. I receive you as the Son of God. I receive you as God. Because your word said that you were made flesh and dwell among us, you are God." Well, the third fundamental is this, the resurrection. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, "Who," and this is Jesus, "was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not believe he rose from the dead, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. If Christ has not risen from the dead, then everybody who has ever been born and died are in a devil's hell right now. If Christ has not risen from the dead, then everyone who has and or will ask Jesus to save them are either in hell or will be when they die. And I tell you that according to the Scriptures, Christ has risen from the dead, and all who will call upon him, upon his name, believing that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead, will be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus rose from the grave and is alive. Now, some like the Wesleyans and the Jesus Only group will try to tell you that Christ only rose spiritually. But my Bible tells me he rose bodily. He's out of the grave. He's alive today. And we which are alive right now and believe in Jesus Christ, believe and trusted him as our Savior, one day we'll have a body fashioned like his. We won't be him, but we'll be fashioned like him. We'll have a body that never dies. Well, Jesus did resurrect bodily from the grave. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43 says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. This is after his crucifixion and burial. He stood with them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 4 and 6 says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do so right now, so that one day I will see you in heaven, and you will be with my Savior. You'll be with me. Because I've trusted Jesus, you will be with me and the Savior if you will trust him as your Lord and Savior. I will continue this. We have two more fundamental facts concerning the faith. Five fundamentals of the faith. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. And we'll cover the rest of this later on. And be sure and listen, because this is so important for you and I as people, as people of God and people who have never trusted Jesus Christ. You need to trust him today. And if you have trusted him, you need to be serving him, because he loved you. He loved you so much he gave his life for you, and he rose from the grave. And once again, if you're not saved, he loves you, and he wants you to call upon him today, believing that he is God, that he is the Savior, and that he will save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly
is our prayer.